And we get to come and study God's Word. And that's what our lesson tonight is going to be based around, is studying the Word of God. When the elders gave me this title, they could not have given me something that was more fitting, because when it comes to this topic, I, above anyone else, needs to work on this myself. And so I learned a lot over the last couple of weeks in studying this, and realized just how much that this applies to me more than anyone else. So hopefully you'll get something out of this tonight. We're going to look at several different things. We're going to look at what the Bible says in regards to studying the Bible. We're going to look at several strategies in regards to studying the Bible. And then finally look at what can happen as a result if we don't know it. So hopefully something that's said tonight will be beneficial to you. We're going to start off by looking at a chart. And as I was doing research for this lesson, I looked up across the United States the percentage of people who read their Bible on a normal basis. And this survey here was a survey of about 12,000 people done by the Pew Research Center. And out of 12,000 adults, about 35% of those said that they study the Bible about once a week, or at least once a week. All right, 35% out of 12,000 at least once a week. Now, if this is a statement as to the entire country, then this tells us a pretty big picture that not a whole lot of people study the Bible. As you go further down the line, 10% study once or twice a month, 8% several times a year, and 45% of Americans never read the Bible, which tells us exactly why we're in the position that we are today in our society, that people don't read the Bible. And that's not just between people across the United States, but that can even be for many who go to church and who are Christians. Three other that I looked at, I want to go over right quick, is to break this down by age. Of those between ages 18 and 29, 17% of those study their Bible on a weekly basis. Between ages 30 and 49, 33%. 50 to 64, 29%. And ages 65 and up, 21% read their Bibles on a weekly basis. Those that go to services at least once a week, 70% of those read the Bible on a weekly basis. And that tells us a story that people that go to church generally read the Bible. But still, that number is still too low, because we should all be studying the Bible. For those that go to church once a month, 21%. And for those that never really go to church services, they still read the Bible about 20% a week. For those that go to daily prayer and who pray daily, 89%. So we see a correlation here that those who attend church services at least once a week, and for those that pray at least once a day, 89% of those people study the Bible at least once. It's no coincidence that number is so much higher than what we see right here. And that's because as we put God first in our lives in one area and in two areas, then everything else begins to fall in place. So tonight we're going to do some self-reflection as to where we stand in regards to these numbers. Which column are we in? Are we in the one that reads our Bible at least once a week or twice a week? Are we in the column that reads it maybe once a month? Or maybe we're in the column to where we hardly ever open our Bibles except when we are here at church. So what we're going to do is as we go further along, first of all, we're going to look at the importance of studying the Bible. So please get out your Bibles. We'll look at several passages to start off our lesson tonight to see exactly what the Bible says in regarding studying the Word of God. And we're going to start in Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, starting in verse 7, says, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success." So we must study the Bible, not just every once in a while, but all the time. And that's what we read here in Joshua, that we know it from the left hand to the right, know it inwards and out, so that we may be successful as Christians. If you will turn me to Matthew chapter 22. We're going to read a passage here, and this is Jesus is being asked a question here. Starting in verse 23, the Sadducees are asking Jesus, says, who say that there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him, saying, Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were with us seven brothers. The first died after he had married and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third even to the seventh. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had her. So the Sadducees are asking Jesus, saying, hey, according to the law, if this man dies, then his wife is to marry his brother. And so let's say that all the men die, and she marries all the brothers. When they're all resurrected, who's she going to be with? The first husband or the last? Jesus replies in verse 29, you are mistaken, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, you have not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. So Jesus' reply to this question is that your question is redundant because it doesn't apply. If you really knew the Scriptures, then you would know that answer. That God does not have respect. That God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And so therefore, because they didn't know the Scriptures, because they didn't know what was really said, then they really didn't know where to go. And that's where Jesus was talking about here. Let's turn now to, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How do we know that the words in the Bible are true? How do we know that what we are studying tonight is true? We have to have faith. None of us ever saw Jesus walk on this earth. None of us ever saw the miracles. None of us have ever seen Abraham or Moses. So we have to have faith. And hearing comes by reading the Word of God. So we must read the Word of God so that we know what the Bible says and that we have and that we have faith that what in here is true. Let's turn now to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul is talking to Timothy in verse 14. He says, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Diligent to present yourself approved to God. How do we present ourselves approved to God? We study the Word of God. How do we prove ourselves to God that we are faithful Christians? In order to know what we must do, we have to know what the Bible says about it. So we have to study so that we know what we're supposed to do as Christians. If we flip one chapter over into chapter 3, verse 16, Paul says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for the doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in the righteous, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Why should we study the Bible? So that we're equipped. So that we have the knowledge and that we're ready. Paul also tells us to be ready in season and out of season. That we must always be ready to talk to others about the Bible. Kind of hard to talk to others about what the Bible says if we don't know what the Bible actually says. So that's what Paul is telling Timothy here. In that we must be prepared. And in studying the Word of God, we are prepared for that. Turn to Hebrews now, chapter 4. We got two passages left before we move on. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There is no creature hidden from its sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. The word of God is more powerful than anything else on this earth. The power of God is more powerful than anything that we could ever imagine. So we study the Word of God to know exactly what it says so that we can fight off any kind of evil that comes into our life. Because no matter what Satan throws our way, if we study and know the Bible and go by its true wording, then we are able to fight off that temptation. And then finally, Revelation chapter 1, starting in verse 1. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place, and he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who read, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. We must always be willing to study the Word of God and must always be willing to keep it close to us. So what's the importance of studying the Word of God? So that we may know what God expects out of us. So that we may live our lives according to His will so that we can try to get to heaven. Because after all, that's the ultimate goal. If we don't get to heaven, then everything in this life has been a waste. So we study the Word of God so that we're prepared, so that we know what God commands out of us, and so that we can keep that course of trying to get to heaven. All right, so now we're going to look at how we study the Bible. Now that we know this is important and that we must do it, we have to find ways to study the Bible. For a lot of people, it comes down to time, having the time to study. And for me in the past, this has been one of my issues, that I let life get in the way. And I don't find that time to study. The first thing that we must do is designate a time to study. Make a designated time every single day to sit down and to read the Bible and to study His Word. Now, for some of you, that may be in the morning. If you're like Matt Taylor, you get up at the crack of dawn. All right, so maybe that's your time to get up and to study. All right, maybe some of you, the better time is during your lunch break. All right, I do several things during my planning period, especially when getting ready for my sermons. If you're like me, then the best time is right before bed, at night when things are kind of calmed down. They usually take about 20, 30 minutes or so, and that's kind of my designated time to study the Bible. All right, so first of all, pick a time to study. Don't just kind of fly by the seat of your pants and say, well, I'll study at some point tomorrow or the next day. All right, go ahead and pick a time every single day that's going to be your time to study. And get into that routine. Because if you're like me, then you have to have that routine in order to get into it on a daily basis. Start off slow. All right? I can't tell you how many times I've heard Brother Guy or somebody else up here saying, take 15 minutes to read the Bible. 15 minutes daily. You don't have to spend 2 hours at a time to read the Bible and to study. All right? Start off with 15 minutes. Just take a few things here and there. And then build up to it. I try to, the most I get out is about 25 to 30 minutes. That's when I usually get my best studying in. All right, so take about 15 to 30 minutes. Again, not 2 hours, not 3 hours, but just take a small time just to sit down and to read the Bible. And then once you get into that routine, then it usually comes a little easier. You can even create a weekly or monthly schedule. Okay, pick out, here's what I'm going to study this week, or here's what I'm going to study next week, or here's, or I'm going to concentrate on studying this book of the Bible over the next 2 or 3 weeks. All right, come up with a plan so that you have an excuse to sit down and study. And don't go to bed at night until you have done it. All right. So, again, first of all, we must find time to study. Make sure that we find time for God every single day in our lives. All right. One of the things that I've done in the past is that you can study one book in depth. All right. So you take one book of the Bible, and you read it through, and you study as much about that book as you can. All right. So, first of all, you read the book all the way through to understand the big picture. What is the book about? What's kind of the main overall theme here? And then once you get that, then you can study every aspect of the book, starting with the 5 W's, who, what, when, where, and why. Who wrote the book? Why was the book written? Who is it written to? What's the entire purpose of the book? And then how can we apply that to our lives? You know, over the last 3 or 4 months, several of us have been covering several of the books of the New Testament with the classes in the back. And in getting ready to teach those lessons, that's exactly what I've had to do, is study these books in depth. Every in and out of exactly what is meant in the book. And then reference that with other books. All right. This past time I had Galatians. In order to really understand Galatians, I couldn't just read Galatians and then be done with it. I had to look at other books in the Bible. I had to look back at Acts because the book of Galatians was written by Paul to the Galatians based off of one of his journeys. All right. So I had to look in Acts. I had to look in Genesis, in Exodus. There were several books I had to go back and reference back and forth to really understand exactly what the entire book meant. All right, so when you sit down and study just one book, look and see what other books say about it. And then connect that with the bigger picture of the Bible. Okay, connect that with what the rest of the Bible, what the overall theme is, and how that connects with God's plan. One of the most important things we can do in studying is studying in context. All right, it's very easy to take one passage or one verse and to read it and say, it means this. But when you put that into the entire context, it may have something different. All right, I have 2 verses up here that we're going to look at, for example. First one is Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. It says, "Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through the faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. Since by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified." So if we read this verse by itself, then we see that all we have to do to go to heaven is have faith. All right? Not by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. And I know of a lot of people who take this verse, and that's exactly what they say. Say, hey, all we have to do is have faith, and we're going to heaven. But if you read the rest of Galatians chapter 2 and the rest of the book of Galatians in itself, then that's not what Paul is saying at all. Paul is talking to the Galatians about what they are doing is that they're going back to aspects of the old law of Judaism. And he's making the argument that Judaism no longer applies because Jesus Christ came down to die for our sins. And he's using the example of faith to combat that. So Paul is not saying that all we have to have here is faith. But to understand that, we have to read the entire context. And too many times, people only look at one verse or one passage, and they get the meaning out of that. Here's another one that we can look at. John chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." If we look at this one verse, then we say that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. All we have to do is believe in God. All we have to do is believe that Jesus was the Son of God. He came down to die for our sins, and we're going to heaven. After all, that's what this verse says, right? But if we look at other passages in the New Testament, then it's more to it than just that. We read that we also have to repent of our sins, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, be baptized for remission of our sins, be faithful until death. It's not just faith. It's not just belief. There are other things that only by reading the entire thing do we really understand what we have to do to go to heaven. And too often we look at just one verse, and from that one verse we get a meaning. And a lot of times we mistranslate it because we only look at it out of context. Very important to read it in context. Next, we can look at commentaries and concordances. All right? If you're like me, you read the Bible and you get very confused. All right? I'm one of those to where when I try to read it cover to cover, I can't hardly do it because I get confused. I don't understand a lot of parts of it, and so I have to go back and I have to reference different parts of the Bible, and I have to look at commentaries. A lot of times when I come across a passage and I don't quite understand what it means, first thing I'll do is I'll look at the bottom of my Bible. All right, I have a Bible that at the bottom there are commentaries, comments from the editors. And so I'll go down and I'll look and see what they say about it. Sometimes it helps me to understand what the passage means. Sometimes I'll go to the internet to see what others are saying about that passage, to see if maybe I can get an explanation there. A lot of times I'll ask people here at church. I'll go to Matt or Brother Guy or somebody else and say, hey, I'm having trouble understanding this passage, or I'm not exactly sure what this is supposed to mean. Can you help explain it to me? The point of that is that we can go to others for help. If there's part of the Bible that we don't understand, ask somebody. Don't just skip on passage and say, well, I don't understand it, so I'll just forget it. I'll go on somewhere else. All right, ask somebody. Now, with this being said, there's a disclaimer. Because with commentaries and websites and sermons, keep in mind that those things come from the mouths of men and not from the mouth of God. So we have to be careful at how we study commentaries and how we study different things and what we look up in regards to the Bible on the internet because, believe it or not, some things might not be true. So we have to keep that in mind as we look at these things. They're tools to help us study, but we also have to be careful at how we use them. We can also use concordances. All right, if you've never seen a concordance, here's one. All right, it's a big old book, bigger than the Bible. All right, weighs about 10 pounds. All right, but it's a good reference source. Let's say that you want to look up all the verses in the Bible about baptism. All right, go to Baptism in a Book. It tells you all the verses in there that have baptism in it. Or let's say that I want to study more on humility. All right, go to H, look up humility. And it sends me to a whole slew of verses that talk about humility. All right, so let's say that you want to just study one topic at a time. Concordance is a great way to do that. Regardless, there are tools out there to help us study when we don't understand. And when it comes to the Bible, that's the biggest problem that you see time after time is that people just have a hard time understanding. The Bible can be very confusing and at times can be very discouraging if we don't really understand what we're reading. All right, so find help out there to help you to understand. Ask others. Look to different tools. All right? There are other ways to help you study. You can learn historical context. You know, there's a lot of history that comes with the Bible. The Bible is history. All right? It's talking about things that happened 2,000 and 3,000 and 4,000 years ago. All right? If you don't know your history, then you might sit here and say, well, in the New Testament, it talks about Romans nonstop, Roman soldiers and Roman centuries and Roman rulers. Why does it talk about the Romans? Well, if you don't know that the Roman Empire conquered most of Europe and the Middle East, and that during this point in time, that's who controlled Jerusalem, then it may not make a whole lot of sense to you. All right, so know that there's a lot of history that goes along with the Bible, that a lot of world history that you may learn in school can apply to the Bible as well. Concentrate on a single topic. One of the things I started doing about 10 years ago is that I would come home and I would try to study, and I found that I was getting nowhere. So I'd pick a topic, you know, humility or whatever it was. And I would spend about a week or two just scanning through the Bible and seeing what all I could find in the Bible just about humility or baptism or whatever it is. And I would take those couple of weeks, research, and then put it into a lesson. And what I did was that at the end of the 2 weeks, I had not only a better understanding of the topic, but I knew what the Bible said about it. I knew several more parts of the Bible that I didn't know before. And I even had a lesson that I could use later on. You can study a certain character. All right, next month, Lord willing, we're going to be talking about different characters of the Bible. All right, pick someone like Abraham or Jesus or Peter or Paul. All right, if reading straight through the Bible is for you, then pick something in particular to concentrate on and then study just that one aspect until you learn as much as you can about it. Write it down. If you're like me, then you read it. 24 hours later, it's gone. All right, I don't have very much for comprehension, so I have to write it down. Last week, I went back through the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8 through 28, trying to study more about the life of Paul. And as I went chapter through chapter, typed it down into an outline. And sure enough, 2 weeks later, I've forgotten a lot of it. All right, so I go back and I use that as a reference so that when I want to learn more about Acts or Paul, or I say, hey, I remember reading this back in Acts, then I will open up that file, I'll go to the chapter, and then there it is. All right, so write it down. Listen to an audio Bible. All right, there are many Bibles on CD or tape or whatever it is to where if you don't have time to sit down and necessarily read, but you're in your car a lot, then this is a good way to do it. I know that Al says that he has an app on his phone that every time he gets into his car, he'll put the app on the Bluetooth, and he'll listen to the Bible as he drives down the road. He said that on a given day, he'll hear about 2 or 3 chapters per day along with his normal study. And then you can even have Bible trivia and Bible apps. And then Bible studies, all right, studying with others about the Bible. All right, so the point of this is that there are many different ways to study, that if you've been discouraged about studying the Bible or if you've been confused or whatever it is, that there's more than one way to do things. All right, so take one of these and try one of these and see if it works for you. One last thing I want to talk about in regards to studying, and that is that studying is not only for us, but we must also study for those around us, including our children. This chart here shows the percentage of people with children under the age of 18 living in their households and how much they read the Bible. All right? It says that parents who have children under the age of 18 that read at least once a week, 31%. And that is a sad number because not only are we studying for our own well-being, but we're also studying for the well-being of our families, of our wives, husbands, and especially our children. I went back this morning, and about 6 or 7 years ago, there was a sermon that was done here about the topic of Bible study. And within that sermon, they had referenced a book called Already Gone, put back in 2006. And in the book, they surveyed 20,000 adults and 2,000 teenagers, 22,000 people total. And what they came to the conclusion of was that out of those people, 61% of the people that grew up in the church, by the time they got to their 20s, had left the church for one reason or another. 61% of people who grew up in the church will eventually stray away from that in their 20s. Now, that's an astounding number. More than half of the people in this congregation growing up will one day leave the church. And that person had also put a list, just a giant list of all the children who were here at O'Neill at the time. And I went back to look at the names. And it was sad to see all those that were not here today. At over a 6 or 7 year period, those children who have left the church. Now, some of those have gone to other congregations, churches of Christ. Some of those are going to denominational churches. Some of those are not going to church at all. And we have to ask ourselves, why is this number so large? Why are children leaving the church at this rate? Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We got three last passages before we begin to wrap up. Teaching our children is one of the most important things that we can do when it comes to studying the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting at verse 4, says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." So not only are we studying for our own benefit, but we're studying for the benefit of our children, so that we shall talk of the Bible in our homes, so that we may teach the aspects of the Bible to our children and to our families. Let's turn now to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." You need to make sure that our children have that good foundation of not only coming to church, but understanding why. Why are you here? Why is coming to church so important? Why do we come 2 or 3 times a week? Why is it so important? We need to make sure that our children understand why and have that good foundation. And then finally, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 1, says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." How do we bring them up with training? How do we train our children in the ways of the Lord? It starts with this right here. With teaching them about the Bible and teaching them the importance of it. What Matt does on Sunday nights before we get started with services is exactly what we need to be doing. Teaching our children about the Bible, the importance of it, what it means, why we're here. You know, Lord willing, in a few months, Heather and I will have our first child on this earth. And there's nothing that scares me more than looking into 10 to 15 years in the future and thinking that maybe I was not the best example in regards to having her in the church. That I don't build that good foundation for her. And that one day maybe she'll leave the church. And that's what scares me probably more than anything. As parents, we need to make sure that it's not only our own souls that are in danger, but it's those of our family, and especially our children. We have to make sure that we put that in our priorities. Consequences of not studying, we'll go through this very quickly, but if we don't study the Bible, then there are many consequences. First of all, we're ignorant about the Bible. We don't know what the Bible says. We can't talk to others about the Bible if we don't know what the Bible says. You know, if you're at work and there's a conversation about a certain topic, either baptism or repentance or just anything in general, and you sit there going, "Well, I go to church, but you know, I really don't know what the Bible says on this. I don't know any specific passages. I don't know where to turn to." All right? Consequences of not studying means that we can't talk to others about the Bible. It means that maybe we don't understand Bible class or sermons. It means that maybe we don't understand certain books or passages. Again, many parts of the Bible kind of connect to itself, especially when it gets to the New Testament and Paul's letters. It all goes back and forth from book to book. So not knowing certain parts of the Bible means that we try to read certain passages that maybe we don't understand it. We have little or no understanding of major characters, prophets and apostles. If you're sitting there going, I have no idea who Abraham is or Moses or why they're important, all right, then not knowing the Bible can cause that. So it means that we need to study about those characters. It means that we need to study about parts of the Bible that we don't know about. Missing out on life's lessons. You know, there are not many emotional issues that are not covered in the Bible, which is something that is astounding, that people just don't look to the Bible when trying to deal with their issues. You know, the Bible says that God will not give us anything that we cannot handle. And so no matter what's going on in our lives, if we don't know that verse is in there, we may think, well, I'm all alone and God's not with me and what's the purpose of going on? But if we know that passage and we know that God knows our breaking point and that he'll never push us past that, then maybe it gives us some encouragement to keep pushing on, to get through it, and to look to God for the answers. Not studying the Bible means that we could be worshiping God in an unacceptable way. Are we conducting ourselves in a way here at O'Neill that is worthy of God? Our worship services, are we doing the things commanded? If we don't study the Bible and we don't know the Bible, then maybe we're worshiping God in a way that's not being said. I think we are. But there are many churches out there that may not be because either they don't know the Bible or they ignore the Bible. It can mean going to a congregation that is not acceptable to God. There are many denominations out there that are not doing what the New Testament says. 30,000 to 40,000 Christian denominations that are not true to the original church that we read about in the New Testament. And then finally, and the biggest consequence of not knowing the Bible is that we don't know how to get to heaven and that we miss out on heaven. And that's the biggest consequence we can ever have on anything on this earth, is missing out on heaven and spending an eternity in hell. So as we close out, I want to take a look at one more chart. All right, this is a survey of how many people have read the Bible. 10% of Americans have never read the Bible according to this survey. None of it at all. 13% only a few sentences. 30% have read several passages and stories. Only 15% has read at least half of the Bible. That number is amazing. Only 15% of the people in the United States, according to this survey, has only read about half of the Bible. 12% of those, almost all of it. 11% all the Bible, and only 9% has read the Bible more than once. So let's do a little bit of self-reflection. How much are we reading the Bible? How much are we studying the Word of God? How much are we trying to make ourselves better as Christians to try to get to heaven? Because when we read the Bible in its full, and when it's all said and done, then we have to do every single one of these things if we ever want to make it to heaven. There's no way around it. No one verse is going to contradict that. So, are you worshiping God and being faithful to God like you need to? And like I said at the very beginning, this lesson is for me more than anybody. Something that I need to work on probably more than anything else in my life. But if you're like me, if you need to improve your life, then please do something about it. If you're not a Christian, then please follow the steps on the board. You've heard the Word of God. You believe it. Come forward, repent of your sins, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then be baptized for remission of your sins. If you're a Christian, but maybe you've fallen away from that, you haven't been as faithful as you need to, whatever the case may be, if any of this applies to you, we ask you, please come forward as we stand.